Lord be with you.
Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John.
The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him on the last day. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread and will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. The Gospel of the Lord. Probably most of us are captivated by conversion stories. I certainly am. Most famous conversion story in the world, you just heard it. Hands down, this is number one. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Probably the second most famous conversion story is the probably most widely spread book ever written outside the Bible, and it's the Confessions of St. Augustine. All of you have heard of that, I think. Then one of the most famous conversions in the 19th century is a conversion of John Henry Newman from the Oxford movement. My mother was actually invited to his canonization there in Rome in October. He's going to be canonized, thanks be to God, no? The Newman Society, that my dad was one of the advisory members, they're a good friend of Patrick O'Reilly, invited my mother to go to that. What a blessing, no? But Cardinal Newman is going to be canonized. He's probably the most famous convert in England. And you who are English majors know that he was the beginning of what was called the conversion of the Oxford movement, where you had great English intellectuals, among which Gerard Manley Hopkins. If you like poetry, read Hopkins, okay? Who became a Jesuit priest. And in your breviary, you have some poems written by Hopkins at the end of your breviary. So maybe check it out today. Probably the most famous convert in the United States would probably be Scott Hahn. Scott Hahn and his wife Kimberly. So I'm fascinated by conversion stories. And the conversions that come about by God's grace, I really feel that there are three principal causes that result in conversions. It will be prayer, St. Monica, prayer, second, suffering, victim souls that offer their suffering. And third, holy lives. Amen. Amen or no? Yeah. Prayer, grace, suffering, union with the Lord, and then holy lives. Best example would probably be St. Monica. Very prayerful person. She suffered a lot. Her name is Saint Monica. Not just a freeway, but there's a person, Saint Monica, okay? So through these means, you have conversions coming about. There are so many conversion stories. Maybe I'll tell one or two, but there's so many. I'll tell a conversion story that probably none of you have ever heard, but it's worth knowing. But 100 years ago, there were two intellectuals in France who were studying philosophy. They were philosophy majors, I think in either the Sorbonne or the University of Paris. And they lived in the time of what's called the French existentialism. And that philosophy basically presented life is not really having too much meaning. Jean-Paul Sartre, Albert Camus would be some of the French philosophers where life didn't really seem to have too much meaning. It's called French atheistic existentialism. So both of them decided that after a year, if life didn't seem to have any meaning, they would kill themselves together. They would have, you know, they'd commit suicide. What's the purpose of living? So that was their decision. So they're already getting ready to kill themselves, and one of their professors, a very famous Catholic theologian and philosopher, his name is Léon Bloy, B-L-O-Y, you can read some of his writings, heard about the fact that they're going to kill themselves. So he said, before you kill yourself, okay, that's your decision, I would invite both of you to pray. They said, pray? We don't even believe in God. How are we going to pray? He said, well, pray anyway. No, we don't believe in God. Oh, just do it. So given that this was a very prestigious professor in the university back in the 100 years ago, Léon Bloy, well, they decided, well, we might as well try it. So both of them prayed. And guess what happened? God is so great. You know what happened? God introduced them to the greatest thinker in the world after Jesus. And that would be, all of you know, come on, Thomas Aquinas. The greatest thinker in the world is Thomas Aquinas. You've heard of him, right? They fell upon Thomas Aquinas, they started to read him, and they fell in love with Thomas Aquinas. They were converted. Either they were converts or reverts, either one or the other. But they started to live their Catholic faith. And they fell in love. They got married. And they became the most famous Thomists. Thomas means writers on Thomas Aquinas in the modern world. Can I tell you their names? You want me to tell you tomorrow? Jacques and Raisa Maritain, okay? The two greatest Thomists in the modern world. We as priests, the oblates, when we were in Rome, we studied Thomas, and that was probably the most famous commentator that we had. Jacques and Raisa Maritain. None of you have a degree in philosophy as we do, but it's good to know those names, okay? But they were converted. How did they come about? By prayer. And they didn't even believe in prayer. So prayer can work even when people don't believe that prayer works. It still works anyway. Conversion stories are fascinating. How great God is. He knows how to work with us. Second story. France, about the same time. a French-Parisian intellectual doctor, married a very good Catholic woman. And like Jacques Maritain and his wife, this doctor, his name was Felix, hated the Catholic faith, mocked it, made fun of it, but his wife was the exact opposite. She prayed, made her holy hour, went to Mass, she loved the Blessed Mother, and she never really tried to push her husband to practice his faith because she knew it just could be counterproductive. So she had a diary, and she decided the best way to convert her husband was through prayer and penance and suffering. So she offered herself as a victim soul for her husband. So in her 30s, she got very sick, deadly sick, and she died. And her husband was crestfallen because even though he didn't agree, he loved her, and she loved him. And he opened up her diary and he read, "I offer my prayers, my sacrifice, my life for the conversion and salvation of my husband." Guess what? He came back to the church. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen, when he was a young priest, made a retreat with a Dominican priest, highly gifted Dominican priest, who often during his lectures would often say, as a Dominican priest, "As my beloved wife used to say, as my beloved wife used to say," have you ever heard a priest say that? I haven't yet. Hmm? "As my beloved wife used to say, as my beloved wife used to say." This is the story of the conversion of Félix Lisieux, whose wife was Elizabeth Lisieux, who's already a servant of God and one day will probably become a great saint. How did it come about? Prayer, good example, and suffering. And that brings us to one last idea of the saint that we celebrate today. Today we celebrate a saint who became a saint in the United States. It was not part of the United States when he lived. You probably know, if you know, we became American citizens. Two of the last states were annexed. One was Alaska and the other one was Hawaii. The saint that we celebrate today, his name is Saint Damien Wuster. My Dutch isn't that good, but I think that's the way it's said. Incredible life. Okay, you who have children and grandchildren, you see some mothers who have little children, some teenagers, get your kids to watch the movie of Molokai. Alejandro, do you hear me? Molokai. Get your kids to watch it. Lily? Okay. Molokai. Because children today tend to be very selfish and very sensual and very comfortable. It would be impossible for them to see that movie without feeling uncomfortable with their lifestyle. Your children. Impossible. Impossible. And we should watch it also because we tend to be pretty comfortable. I love this saint. I really love this saint. He wanted to go to Hawaii Molokai because he wanted to work with those in society were seen as the worst in all of human society. No worse category. He wanted to go and work with the lepers. He was decided. He's going to work with them, and he knew he was going to die as a leper. He knew it. He thought he was going to die. You know, he worked there for about 11 or 12 years. He thought after 4 or 5 years, because he protocol was you go to a leprosarium, you never touch a leper. He hugged them all. One thing he said is, I'm not gonna have any distance. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And he hugged them, he shook their hands. But he knew he was gonna die as a leper. How many of you would go to a place where you know you're gonna die of that sickness? None of us. Incredible saint. Incredible saint. Watch the movie, read his life, because he's like a Mother Teresa. And people read his life, they can't help to be fascinated by this man. Three short ideas in his life. First is his greatest suffering was that he couldn't go to confession. That was his greatest suffering. So if you saw the movie, my favorite scene is he's in the movie, he's in a rowboat, he's rowing to the ship, and there's a priest on the top of the ship, or bishop, I think it was a bishop, and he actually yelled out his sins to the bishop on the ship, and the other sailors were there, no? How would you like to come up here and to tell your sins in the microphone and be live streaming it, huh? I don't think any of you would do that, huh? Because he could not live with a guilty conscience. That's a good example. He could not live with a guilty conscience. Second is this. Is that he was calumniated. And you see the part of the movie was the most embarrassing thing in the movie. You got to see it. He was calumniated. You saw the movie, there was a leprous woman that tried to tempt him, and he rejected it. So they calumniated him, slandered him, saying, the reason why you have leprosy is because you had immorality with one of the lepers. What would happen if that happened to you? You would die. Do any of you know who was the one that defended him most? One of the greatest modern poets, who was not even a Catholic. Can I tell you his name? Robert Louis Stevenson. If you study American literature, you studied him a little bit when you were in senior. You probably read one of his poems. Okay? Robert Louis Stevenson, not a Catholic. He loved Father Damien and he fought to exonerate him and to defend his innocence. And he was exonerated. The third point I'd like to make is this. Think about maybe the person that causes you most pain, suffering, can I use the word? Repugnance, can I use that word? A strong word in English, isn't it? Who is the person that causes you most revulsion or repugnance? Try to love that person most today. Amen? If Damien could do it, so can we. We all have people in our lives that drive us bananas. I do too. People that drive us nutty. People that drive us crazy. Saint Damian loved the unlovable, as did Mother Teresa. He loved the unlovable in the eyes of the world because the unlovable in the eyes of the world was a reflection of Jesus Christ for this man who had great faith. Saint Damian, pray for us. Amen.